We good? Lewis is still trying to wrap his head around that we have an alcohol commercial ban on Lithuanian media.
As like I've just across understood, the board. On a podcast. Now, this podcast is fairly popular, don't get me wrong, sure. But still, you're not allowed to. It's not the TV, it's not the radio, but it's an internet podcast.
Still, yeah. Like, they were cutting out pages out of newspapers and out of magazines to not have, like, old ads that came from before the ban when they were pressed.
Wow. We're in Estonia. I mean, it's no kind of... I mean, it's no secret. First of all, we drink all the time on the podcast and show the beer cans. It's not a secret that half the time we're high anyway.
It's the comedian's life. You have to do that because you can't be all like hoity-toity.
You can't be hoity-toity. That's yeah, a good yeah. It's good use of an
hoity-toity,
word.
Yeah. I'm all hoity-toityed out.
That's nice.
For a minute.
I'll do the intro. Of course. Has an intro. Welcome to the next episode of Comedy Guy with Lewis Zezeran. I am here in Vilnius, Lithuania. And this episode is like the best looking fucking episode. It's probably sounding as well. The whole thing is way higher production value because I am in the studio of my friend Dominikas Kaliumas. That's right. It's reasonable.
Whatever. It's,
it'll work.
Yeah.
He is. Dominikas is a Lithuanian comedian. He's a podcaster. He's a content creator. He used to be on the radio, all kinds of stuff, right? This guy, he's like the people like him, right? He's a popular Lithuanian guy.
I'm like the you started talking with the girl and she says, "Is your friend cute?" And you're like doing the bit now. He's cute, he's amazing. Cute.
So many, like whenever I'm in Lithuania, they're like, "Oh, what are you, Australian man?" And I'm like, "Oh, I live in a Tallinn and I do comedy," and they're like, "Huh?" And I'm like, Yeah, I'm like the humoral clubus of Estonia. And they're like, "Ooh." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm like the Paulius of Estonia," like, "Ooh."
Like the best impression of a Lithuanian when they hear something, oh, like a Italian from a cartoon, oh.
So that's how I get by saying that. And I was here a couple months ago. Paulius was on the. If you haven't checked the last episode with Paulius about 10 episodes ago, don't do it.
Don't do it. Paulius is the most unfunny man that I've ever seen. Paulius, if you hear this, stop. This is an intervention for your comedy.
But then ironically, you know what? And I mean, my podcast is based in Estonia. It's in English, aimed at people in Estonia, which I realize, look, they're all very good English-speaking people, but still limits me. Yeah. But still, then you think I would interview a Lithuanian and, you know, numbers would plummet from their high highs. I think I get the most views on that Paulius video.
Oh, like Paulius is established.
He's the man, right? Yeah. There's enough Lithuanian people that wanted to hear
a few bastard children of Paulius, like with the same hair, bowl cuts like this.
Danny. They're just like his cat. They're all like hairless. Oh, Paulius has got one of those hairless Egyptian cats.
Who looks like Putin. Yeah. You know that one because it's a lovely cat, but it's like it's a ball sack. It's just you're holding it.
I know. I don't want to touch it. I go over to Paulius' hat. I'm like, that's nice. You want to fly, right? You don't want to. I'm like, can the evil devil cat go upstairs now?
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm here for a couple of days in Vilnius and, you know, Dominikas has got his own studio here. And so we're just popping in doing the podcast. I just want to catch up, man. See, you know, how you been. And
yeah, the last time I've been to Estonia was when Lewis took me in to do an open mic, which went great and everything was very nice. And just I went to Estonia and like I think in Latvia, we first met in Latvia doing comedy. I've done also an open mic.
Dude,
with Mantas Katleris.
You know what? I have such a bad memory. Maybe it is everything that I know that happened.
Guy
but
who
I have
looks
no
like me,
of
just
it.
With a smaller face.
I know who
face.
Mantas is. Yeah. Gold jacket guy.
Yeah, and someone said to us, Lithuanian, not Lithuanian, Latvian audience is so good. Estonians are like so rigid. they don't have any sense of humor. And I came to Estonia, and they were completely right. Like, what's the problem, guys? No, it was great.
Estonian people looking at Lithuania going, those people laugh at that.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Jeez. I guess they are a bit simpler down there.
Yeah. Simpletons. Yeah. Beet farmers.
So yeah, we're just catching up about. So so these days you this podcast that you're doing. So you work, you know, you've done a lot of work as a comedian. You're still a comedian.
Yeah.
Done big tours. Done the whole thing with Humor Club Us. But since the pandemic, it's like you're, because you were radio before that. I think we were were we talking on your radio show?
I think you came on the radio.
Oh my, so many years ago now.
Like you, and also you with the comedian.
Probably
because you came alone.
Once. I came alone.
Yeah, we're just like two porn stars, like arguing about how is the scene gonna end.
Yeah.
No, you come. Wait, I come. No, what's the right hand rule? Yo, you come. yeah, you came on the radio. Then you came with some. I don't remember who comedian who was like doing a tour.
Okay. I don't remember who that might have been. Lithuanian, you just was it a big comedian or just a regular one? That
I don't remember. Like.
It wasn't like Jimmy Carr or something, or Daniel Sloss or something, was it? Was it?
I think Daniel Sloss.
Was it Daniel Sloss?
I think Sloss came on our
Maybe
show.
Maybe it was.
I think.
We just had Daniel in Tallinn like last week.
Yeah.
Two shows went really nice. The show, the new show Hubris is a killer show. He's doing great. So yeah, it's because we have that great relationship with his manager through over years of doing Riga, Vilnius and Tallinn a whole bunch of times that they trusted us to just run a couple of shows and
we just did like a 7-minute bit of like, have I seen like you were like I just
you gotta catch up.
I was like,
this
oh
is
my God,
the personality
we
thing.
Should
people
want to meet more
yeah just like, we gotta we're like two millennials meeting up oh my God we should totally so
have you become an old man like since then? Because I think I became a little bit older, like get your ball off my perch, boy.
I'm definitely becoming more right wing every day about things like vaccines. Not that I want to get into it. I've got my vaccine, but now I'm kind of like, screw the government. I don't know.
MAGA hat.
Yeah.
What's up, kids?
I have a MAGA hat, actually. When I was in America, I decided to order a $3 MAGA hat with like same day shipping from Amazon.
So you look like a cartoon thermometer.
Yeah, just to do it. Like, not that I really want the hat particularly, but just because Uncle Sam for $3, that day to my door, I'm going to get a MAGA hat. And my friend, he told me, he's like, I grew up with this guy, he's Australian and now he lives in Atlanta. And he was like, cool, you can do that, but just don't let my wife see that hat. I don't think shit's gonna... they take it seriously. To us, it's a fucking joke.
Could you beat his wife in a fight? Like, realistically?
No, he might be listening. No. Wait.
But if she came on to you like MAGA, pa, pa, pa.
Women have way more skills. They don't need to fight. They've got psychological warfare. Right.
Lewis, you're so handsome. You have dark hair.
Huh?
You're
huh?
The only Australian man in Estonia. You've... fit looking all jeaned up like with a 3-day beard like
apparently I'm here this week because of there's a conference here in Lithuania on fintech, which I don't know anything about, but I'm really good at making it up, and they brought me here from Tallinn to do that. So apparently there's no one in Lithuania who can speak English either. We got to import them all the way from the tropic north.
I did this joke once. There was this rapper who used to come on our radio show. Mm. Used to come, I mean, because he's, I think he's Danish, and he used to come like once
to perform here.
He would come on our show, and the first time he came, he's a black guy. He comes to me, and I'm like, I'm giving my hand to him. So you black. You rap, why no basketball? And he's like, oh my God, I'm just joking, dude. He's like, oh shit. And that's a true story.
Look, they're so not used to foreigners in Lithuania. We met downstairs in your lobby. They were already using the N-word. They thought it was like just throwing it around. I'm like, guys, I'm white. I'm from Estonia. Okay, I don't count. I'm a foreigner, but... Oh.
We did all our worst Australian acts. Like, dingo dongo.
And
like,
then I walked in. They had little slanty eyes for a moment. They're like, fuck it. We'll try it out on you. Oh. It's good. But tell us about your... Now that the podcast is... your main thing, right? I know you do comedy and there's still shows and different things, but the podcast is your main thing. What's your average week like to create your podcast?
There's the writing part. It comes in like three smaller parts. We have our think tank phase when we think about the concept. Maybe there's a holiday coming up or something special. Then we discuss it with the host, co-host, everyone. Then we start our writing. So it's like about 2 to 3 days of writing. Hmm. Then recording. When recording comes this nice, there's sometimes, you know, 6-hour podcast that we need to shave down to like 4 hours.
Okay.
And that's it. And then we edit. The edit takes a lot of time because we perfect iron out all the details, like the sound. We add images, all that stuff. We we add videos, and we just release it once a week. But it's a full week job.
Yeah, right. To produce that, I mean, it's like a TV show that goes for a long time, and you've got to do the one once per week because there's still video. Okay, you're sitting at the desk. So how did this podcast grow up? So, I mean, people, you already had a pretty reasonable name in Lithuania through your radio work and the being a comedian. So, okay, there's already name recognition.
Yeah.
But then the pandemic starts, and at least even if people know you, the podcast still has to start in a certain form. What form did it start in?
I actually started it as a movie reviewer. I was the most popular movie reviewer in Lithuania because I did these like John Tron style.
Can't believe people care about your opinion.
Like what I think on Daredevil. Oh, can you see? I was like, it's the right movie. My opinions might not be the most elaborate and all that, but I imported my like comedian's knowledge and understanding of editing and memes and all that. And I made those like typical sitting in front of a camera, memeing it up and just talking funny about the movie. There's some stuff about the theory of movies and all that because I read all up, but it wasn't that much. It was just, you know, it's funny and I talk about a movie. And of course there are Lithuanian movies who are just terrible, you know, just like just trash movies about like four girls going out and one's pregnant and one's not and one's fat and just like cunt jokes and all that, like the worst, you know, thing that you can put in a movie. And it's really easy ripping them up because it's, and a lot of people do that on the internet. That's why I started, that's how I started on the internet. And after that, I had a fan base already there. We had like half of what we have now subscribers. And I just said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back with a podcast. I'm coming back with that. Mm-hmm. And we just corrected our course.
Okay. So you kind of adjust the format. And at first it was just you doing these edits? I mean, you sitting in front of Premiere Pro? Or?
No. There's always our colleague Egidius. And we started doing my movie reviews.
Yeah.
And after that, just went to podcast.
So that bit's the interesting part for me. You knew you want to do movie reviews in kind of a podcast with a meme-y kind of thing. And you said already from the beginning, you said, I need a guy to do the meme-y bits.
Yeah, I'm not an editor. And that's maybe should be the lesson to many people who think they need a lot of knowledge of all the things. Yeah, you're not David Fincher. You know, you don't need to be jack of all trades to make good stuff. You can do it by trusting some people. And like I would sit with my colleagues together in the editing room and we just talk about it. I have a script. There's already edits in it. I write the editing script like the same time I'm writing the thing. And then I know what I want and I correct it along the way.
Yeah, right.
And the person has faster hands, like, you know, and there's like a Rain Man and Tom Cruise situation.
Sure, they know the tool, they know what's up. That's cool. I mean, that, you went straight to having, because with Comedy Estonia, we kind of, probably to our detriment, we mostly do all the editing, each podcast, to Sisiyat, Paikasian, Kud Maiwan, or Kulipud, we all kind of do the stuff ourselves and no one has. Like, it's not like we have not the meme-y content, which needs that sort of stuff. But nevertheless, you know, even a little bit, you could have someone just to come along and touch it up and add a couple transitions here and there. And, you know, a few,
like,
a little bit.
Like the cut out all the cancel-y bits.
Could be a little bit of that or, you know, if the jokes, then there'd be nothing left. But
How could you cancel me in Estonia?
How could we cancel you?
Yeah, if let's say I was a famous Estonian, what would be the hot topic to cancel me with? Because we have this woman, Gudevičiūtė, who in Lithuania, who was traveling while she knew she had coronavirus, and she's a TV famous presenter, And that way she was semi-canceled, like for 3 months or so. Now she has again her show.
Right, now we get, see, that's the key of these. I was wondering, see, one of my pet topics on this podcast is how fucked Estonia is because we only have 1.3 million people.
You're not
right?
coming back to Estonia, right?
No, because never again.
Tax fraud is that strong.
I got everything. We got the tax department coming after Comedy Estonia. I love it. Come after me. I'm ready. I've already got a flight pre-booked to Australia. Don't worry. If the tax guy comes knocking on the door, I'm out the window. I'm already at the airport. Don't worry about it. I'm gone.
like the IRS or something. What's the Estonian IRS calling you?
IRS, the Maksu. Maksu.
Yep.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Wait, who are we going? What are we talking about? Fuck it. Yeah. Wait, what was it? Estonia, podcast, editing. Yeah, I don't know. You sidetracked me.
How would you cancel me?
How would I cancel you? Right. Because I don't think, it sounds like eventually the same here. There's no canceling in Estonia. Like there's, for a while we had this guy, Alari Kivisaar, and he said all kinds of shit. Like, I don't know, like on the radio, on the main Star FM or Uno FM or whatever, radio only because like it's more legitimate than a podcast.
But is radio still big in Estonia? Yes. Because if you said something on the radio, you first need to be famous to be canceled. No, there's the radio presenter is like, I don't know. It's like a mid to low level influencer.
Wow. No. Radio, we're so behind in Estonia that radio, like if you're a radio, one of the main ones, you've still got a lot of influence there. Yes, we have our little YouTuber influencers doing that maybe for a younger market. But yeah, this guy Kivisaar, he would, I don't know, the gay people are like this. And the foreigners are like this. And he said
was
all the things, right?
Using a lot of this, I think.
Yeah, all that. And he's still on the radio. There's even the example of you'll get canceled, but not for long, right? Come back. We just don't have enough people.
Slap on the wrist, cancel.
Well, look, numbers-wise, we don't have enough people to cancel.
Of course, yeah.
Where are they coming from? 1.3 million people. We don't have enough politicians to cancel all the politicians. There was this guy... Erki Nool was his name. He was in Estonia. I think he threw the javelin or something back in the 90s for the Olympics.
I thought he was canceled for throwing a javelin.
Probably
to like a child.
One of those. Throwing the disc or something. He was at the Olympics.
Who cares?
You know, it's one of those ones back in the
throwing
day.
Throwing things.
And then a couple of years ago, he said all the things about the gay people. All the gay people are, and everything. And there was some, and now, I don't know, whatever they go on about.
Oh my God,
it's terrible. And now he's a brand ambassador for Sportland. Yeah. And Sportland, like, it's so weird. Sportland in Estonia, they only use teenage influencers. It's like this YouTube chick, some chick who's sung on Instagram, and then Erki Nool, this old guy who said shit about gay people 3 years ago. It's the weirdest brand ambassador program.
Maybe he's the groomer. He's the honey trap.
Right.
You know who's also a Sportland influencer? Me.
Oh, so really the creepy old fucks.
Yeah, it's old guys and just like...
Dude, you're fat, bro. Like, how did you...
No. That's the best. Like, that's the best Australia. You're fat, fuck.
You're fat, cunt. Oh, yeah, no. I'm sorry. You're looking tremendous.
Of course. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I look like a burnt candle, like under this, like a pear.
So you're Sportland. So you're in the ads, right? Do you have to wear like some Adidas or Adidas? Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm a big, strong guy.
And looking like that. Okay.
I'm a little husky.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's cool. I'm not going to talk any more shit about them Sportland.
No.
So
please,
is it the same? Is it literally like, you know, 14-year-old influencers and you?
There's the whole... there's a dip, you know? There's this graph that explains, like, the realism of face in CGI. Mm. And it's like, it goes like this and falls down to Uncanny Valley and then it comes back. So there's the gap between me and the youngest person. Like, there are, like, 14, 15, 16, 17... Mm.
And then
there's just like me.
Yeah. Are you the oldest person on the Sportland roster?
No, I think not. But I just look like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Some older, probably Olympians. Yeah.
How old are you? Because you look good.
I'm old as fuck, bro. I'm 41.
41.
I'm close to 42. I know I sound like a 12-year-old.
Whose blood are you drinking? What's the secret?
There's Estonian chicks. They keep me young. Mm. I don't know, man. Like, Jesus. yeah, what it is, why. I mean, I'm...
You're a comedian. You should think a joke reason for your, like...
Yeah, why is that? Day. No, I, and then Lewis
I used
is,
to eat no, a pine
Lewis
cone.
Is, Lewis is too full of himself. He's just like, Lewis can't think of a joke. Lewis just thinks he's attractive. No, yeah. There's no joke.
Yeah,
I'm too full of myself.
That's good. If I looked like you, I would be full of myself too. Like, what's the problem? Like, I have a car, I drive it. Like, fuck you. I don't have it. Like, I masturbate by the side.
It's probably a company-sponsored car. You probably, did someone give you your car?
Oh, me? No, I don't have a car. I don't have license.
Oh, you don't have a license?
Yep.
What sort of man? Why? You never got around to it? Why? Did it expire? Oh.
I'm a lazy piece of shit. would be the secret here. We did like a small Instagram podcast with my wife. I'm married now. Like that's changed.
I saw the ring. Yeah, I didn't think it was fake. I thought it was real. But
yeah, it's the separation between my new finger and the old one. It's some child from Korea.
Oh my god.
it fits great, but I hope there are no dogs around. So. and we talked about it because me and my wife, we can't just get a license because we start like, you know, doing the quizzes, the thing to get it. I mean, we just get lazy or whatever. And it's like, meh. And we have a dog, like a small dog who has a nice word, yobnutas. It's like a fucked in the head dog, you know? It's like, it's beautiful at home. It's like loving, caring, and just
wait,
like,
that's why you can't get a driver's license?
No. And then the dog is like, with the other people, and we have to like leave the dog to my wife's parents or whatever.
Yeah.
And we have to sit on a train for like 2 hours to drive the dog there. And to leave it because nobody else would take it.
Yeah,
that's the reality, and that's why we started talking about our driver's license because we had to do all that shit. I have to take the dog. I have to all this stuff, and I'm like the old parent with two retarded children. I'm just like on the train trying to, you know, come out to go to Radviliškis.
And still, that 2 hours on the train doesn't motivate you.
It does, but like, no.
There's people like, look, is that they're on the train? They're like, we're poor as fuck, but isn't that Dominicus on the train?
Like, yeah, but like, I'm seeing it to you, like looking at you, and you're motivating me to be in good shape, but like, nah. when I leave the train, when we leave the studio, there's still McDonald's, and there's still, you know, not doing the thing that I don't like to do.
Wow. I don't like, well, okay, on the topic of things I don't want to do. First of all, not only, I mean, I got my first license first when I was 17
Black
or whatever,
people,
right?
And there's like cuts.
Not only that, I got my Estonian version of the license and I had to not only study the Estonian lessons,
yeah.
But okay.
What's the word for a license in Estonia?
I don't know. I am doing Estonian class, but we haven't got to license yet. You think that's one of the first things?
Like, if an Estonian cop comes to you and says, like,
document, they would just say document.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so document. There you go. Answer your question. The Estonian system. I had to still learn at least the theory part, right? I had to do that regular quiz where you got to go in there and do it. But the English version has not been updated for like at least 15 years. Like, I can trace it back through other foreigners who have done it. And I'm like, was it dog shit for you as well? And they're like, yeah. And then we kind of worked at least 15 years. They have not updated the official translation. And the Estonian one is like, you've got to get A and, like, the answer could be A and B.
Yeah.
Like, not just A, B, or C,
multiple
right?
Choice, yeah.
Multiple choice, but you have to, it could be A and B.
Yeah, Lithuania the same.
You can't just say A and
get
it right.
Yeah, they're trying to outsmart you. Yeah, like, you're looking at the back of a van, and it says you should go left, right, center, or only on Sundays.
Yeah,
it's like, aha, it's all of them. It's all of them. Fuck all you. Them,
yeah. in Estonia, it would be left, right, up, and space. Like that, it's translated
Konami
so
code.
Badly. It is the Konami code. I couldn't work it out. I had to brute force my way 5 times because, like, some of the questions do not make grammatical sense. I'm like, what doesn't? Do I have to get? I have to get an English dictionary out to try and work it out. I don't know what they're asking. I don't know how people are doing it. So I just all I did was do the test 5 times, and I learned the answers just. By heart.
So how are you driving? How are you?
Well, eventually after 5 times, I got it right.
Of course.
But it took me 5 times of going to the road authority, paying my 20 euros, doing the exam before I managed as luck, like got enough wrong. Because when you get one wrong, it tells you it was wrong.
Yeah, or you hit somebody. It's like, oh, stop there means stop. Two P's and an E with a cross thing over it. Oh, of course it is.
It's only got the same oblong or whatever it is sign. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't, you know, I just dumb fucked my way through the Estonian driver's
exam.
Don't
we all, brother?
But like trying to learn things that you don't want. Speaking of things, learning things that you don't want to learn, but you kind of have to. I'm also
sign a language.
I'm learning Estonian.
Oh,
and you know, it's
what's the root of Estonian language? Is it more like Germanic or like Norse from like?
No, it's not. It's something different. It's Estonia and Finland. And yes, every Estonian cunt listening is like, it's got some Hungarian. Yeah, whatever. Shut up. It's Estonian and Finnish related in their own thing. And it's not related to Scandinavia. And it's not related to whatever you people speak here.
Yeah, it's something it's totally. Whatever, just random noises.
I think it's Russian. Who knows? It's some gibberish.
I'm fucking with you. I'm just saying shit.
I know. How do you people even have names? Like, I don't
we
understand.
We don't. It's like,
names.
Like, yeah, like, how long the R goes.
How long does your fucking names want to be? Like the EU has to increase the size of their forms when the Lithuanians come along.
Yeah, there's I that the long one, like the Y, and there's also I with the.
Oh yeah, you've got extra ones. I've never seen.
Yeah,
this
and they're pronounced the same. It's both long vowels, like E and E. That's it. Not E like English E. Like,
right. It's
Tryon.
Who knows? I don't know Lithuanian talk.
Do you use cunt a lot?
More now that I'm here in this studio somehow. Not typically in my day to day. People don't.
Here's the tip, you cunt.
People don't understand how normal it is in Australia. It really
is beautiful.
Normal.
It's like kurwa. Yeah, it has the Polish thing because I use kurwa a lot.
Kurwa, what is that? What is
it means kurwa.
In Polish.
In Polish, it means slut.
Okay.
Like, indefinitely means in Lithuanian slut.
Uh-huh.
But if it does actually mean in Polish only slut, I'm not sure. But it's a cunt, you know, like.
Oh, wait, this is awesome. This is super sexist part of Lithuanian culture. Wait, your word for slut is taken from the Polish word for slut. Because presumably some Polish women came over the border and there were not some good interactions and then therefore...
Maybe very good interactions because slutty women should get a...
Well, true. Maybe excellent ones. True.
Like the
18, right. It's your word for slut is basically Polish women.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean slut in here. Like it does. And
but
it also does because...
You know, I mean,
I have... No, not love. I'm like, just like, oh, kurwa, los baigas. It's like my beer is finished. Like, oh yeah.
That's beautiful. It's so matter of fact, slut. Don't call me that. No, slut. What? I don't mean anything by it. That's just what you are.
Yeah, but cunt is also, I'm calling you a female reproductive organ. Like, it doesn't fly like that. It's just like a cunt, you know?
Oh, how do I get another one of these beers, which I am promoting on? Yeah, get a beer, boy. Because this is going to be shown. But what happens then, though, Dominicus? Because the internet is a large place. Thank you. Yeah. It's a wild place. And maybe I publish this in Estonia, but somebody in Lithuania happens to see us.
It's not a Lithuanian. I don't know.
Wow. So it's somehow judged on where it's made or the intent.
Yeah.
Or the Lithuanian language.
Do you have... I don't think you have Wolfus Engelmann in your country. It's not a. It's not a.
No.
For you, it's not a.
Oh. So if we went to Tallinn, but so you got to come on to my studio in Tallinn, which is not half as good as this one, and then we'll drink Lithuanian beer in Tallinn, publish it on the internet, and see if the authorities have a problem.
Yeah.
With
it's like
that,
fuck the police. Yeah.
In
like,
Estonia,
like we're so. We're such white people because we don't have such little problems. Like it's not allowed to, you know, commercially like not produce, but you know, present beer, and that's it. That's the whole problem. Fuck you, mom.
Yeah, I'm going to Estonia. I can do whatever I want there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it'd be nice if the Lithuanian authorities paid notice. You know, that's cool. I would consider that it'd be an honor. I'd probably pay the fine. I don't know what the fine is. Never come into Lithuania again. Oh, really? It's all right. It's good. It's nice to have a little pause in the middle of the podcast. Yeah. As well, we're talking so much stuff. I'm pleased that you're doing well. I'm pleased that that you've transitioned into this new thing, and you're able to make something with it. Obviously, with your old, you've worked so long as a radio announcer and as a comedian and a general entertainer, so you know that you were able to embrace it. I think there is that, getting back to that aspect of that, straight away you understood you needed an editor. Like straight away, you were I need some help.
An editor is just a part of the mindset, I think, what's the important thing. Because I needed time to differentiate me from a guy who just makes things. Hmm. Like, I used to be a guy who just, paints paintings. Or I just make videos. I do a video. I still work with an editor. But I can make so many videos. Because I'm just, turning the handle. And just the product comes out. I'm turning the handle. I needed more handles or whatever. I needed the bigger machine. And trusting people comes in very strong here, because you need to trust a partner, many partners. You need to have more people working with you, a good relationship with that. When you have that, you can just, delegate.
But as well as trust and delegation, these are all lovely skills.
Foin and dandy.
Lovely qualities of yourself that you just sold me on. But that person, and we don't need to get obviously into the numbers, but you still had to pay that person, right?
Yeah.
So you decided that I have enough vision for where this podcast is going that I'm going to invest this much money, or, over a certain period, I'm going to, that you decided there was a money outlay essentially, yeah. And you decided you believed in your concept enough.
Yeah. Well, maybe I've mistakenly painted myself too much of a businessman, because my colleague, my partner who I'm working with, Jonas, he became the driving force of this becoming a more business-like venture, because mm-hmm. just producing content regularly, mm-hmm. Making income and employing people came from him. That's the standard. And I adhere to it, because mm-hmm. I used to be just a creator. But I was established. I had good work ethic. I learned. And I became the face. Mm-hmm. And that just melded together. The person mm-hmm. who knows, has a lot of experience in one field, I'm the entertainer. And we just came and we overlap in some ways, because we write together. As I said, he's a screenwriter. He's also very well-versed in, act structures of things and all that, and just came together. But it's a lottery, because a lot of people come together. It starts becoming cumbersome for a lot of people, sure, because there's a lot of differences, and those differences sometimes become very irritating. Mm-hmm. And it's you become very tight knit because day and night you're talking, you're texting, mm-hmm. you're writing each other. And it becomes a second family. And if you have to trust, stand, and not stand like the person, mm. because otherwise it's hell. Hmm. You won't do it, because it becomes cold and I don't know.
I like how you got to this, because I'm comparing to comedy. I mean, I like the idea, first of all, that you've understood that some management or help or partnership, whatever you kind of want to call it here, is an advantageous thing for you. Because in the Estonian market, I do think that the kind of big thing that separates Comedy Estonia is we decided we were going to be a professional management agency for comedians.
Yeah.
And you can be with us, and we're going to try and help you as much as your talent allows and your will allows and all that sort of stuff. So in the live comedy part, when it comes to that, we're really good. That's where we excel there. But it's interesting for me that even though we have these successful podcasts with Comedy Estonia, none of us have actually taken the business side to the podcast. Even Tusi Soyad doesn't pay, and I don't think they do. Maybe they pay a little bit to a guy to make the image. I know they pay a little bit here and there to different things, but not even from the beginning, we're going to make a video and get a guy to edit it with memes. They still just sit there, record. They're very funny, don't get me wrong. Excellent content, but just a camera, on two guys talking.
Yeah.
And that in the podcast area, we haven't been as good. Now, why is that? Is that Estonian market? People say that podcasts still haven't popped in Estonia, and there's still not a... Maybe you saw three times as many people being into podcasts and you went, all right, this could be something into it. So I admire that with your podcast, you were like straight up from the beginning, like, yeah, I'm going to, of course I'm going to pay a guy to do some editing. Why would I fucking not do that? I think it's good. It's real nice.
Well, as I said, I'm not that good at this like staff thing. I've just learned like my role as a person, not just the person who creates stuff and that the other person does business, is that I also do business. I'm a businessman. I have to work. This is not, and there's a, like amongst comedians, at least in Lithuania, so I don't know, but I kind of feel it's a bit across the board. Comedians just, you know, sometimes they're not like business minded. It's absolutely. Just, it's like, I come here, I'm funny, that's good, okay, and... Mm. And in Lithuania, like we got early that it's a small market. Mm-hmm. You have to be as much of everything without losing yourself. Like you have to be quite, you know, lefty to be like inclusive. You have to be quite like centrist to be all encumbering and on, like on the right wing to be more traditional. And it's just like without changing your stance, you have to be as much as of a appeal for people as you can, like I said, without losing yourself. And there's a lot of that comes to that, because like I used to do a lot of pointless profanity. Like I was a guy who used to do like bits about that, but I had to tone it down, but still keep the edge of what I'm saying. And that was my challenge, because a lot of comedians would say, oh my God, that's losing the rock and roll. You know, that's losing the edge.
Well, maybe. Look, if some comedians say that, I say, fuck you, you hack. First of all, if they say that, if they say like, oh, you've lost your edge because you stopped using swear words, what? Do you know nothing about comedy and how to analyze it? But you know what? Today, actually, I was doing my event thing and there was the crew there. And I like doing these virtual events because there's always a crew, and crew is crew wherever you go. They're good sorts. And I talked to this one guy, and I dropped the line. I was like, oh yeah, my friend's at the Humoro Clubus. Oh, just so I got something, right? Yeah. And they're like, he's like, oh, Humoro Clubus. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. He's like, they swear too much. And
oh yeah, I swear. There's no...
I listen straight. And I hear, because I also hear it about Comedy Estonia as well. Like, yeah. And I know that we don't, not too bad, but I know people will always think that a bit about stand-up comedy. So I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, yeah, right. I didn't, you know, kind of want to jump in or something on him. Yeah. But even for you, you think you've moved away from that have you moved away from that with your actual stand-up as well?
Or is it still not really, but I moved away from pointless shock value where there's too little to gain. Okay. Like there's ground to gain in terms of creativity. Like you want to push the boundaries, you want to push the words that of course you can say all the words, but there are words in context of what's happening around you, what's the social stigma to it. Mm-hmm. There's weight to it. And you start to weigh what's the gain from the thing that you're saying. And if you're saying just to be shocking and ugly and that, it is, let's say at least, well, it's too much. It's like, what's the gain from this? And if you start using your, let's say your more darker points as accents, but not as a, because you know, if you start using everything on the whole stand-up, it becomes the same. Nothing becomes shocking. It's all muddled. Mm-hmm. But if you start like spacing it out, it starts sounding like a PG-13 movie, because you have to, you know, okay. take a fuck out here, take a fuck out there. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't have a good defense, or maybe I'm not a proponent of this. I'm just, you know, I'm telling what was my road to becoming more appealing to Lithuanians without feeling that I became less of myself.
I mean, I would argue just to being a better comedian doesn't mean like more, while this possibly did overlap with being more popular.
Yeah.
You know, just learning how to remove the profanity without taking away.
But not just the profanity. Like there's the word called schlichtinimas. It means like just being disgusting for disgusting's sake. And I used to really, really like that. Because I used to gain, when I became just became a comedian, and just with my parents before that, when I said ugly things and disgusting things, people went like, oh, ho, 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 ho. And it was fun. But after that, it became the only crutch I standing on as a comedian. And when you stand on that like for 10 years, it becomes the crutch, yeah. And you need to be more well-rounded. You have to introduce your worldview, your insights and all that. And I started using my best weapons less, so they became more strong.
I like that idea. I like as well that, so you said, yeah, it's been about 10 years or whatever, a bit over.
Yeah, it's my 10th year right now.
Yeah, okay, 10 years of doing this, right? Also, not only have you progressed as a comedian, so what I've just heard now is a great story about an artist starting off with one thing and then moving to, you know, learning about themselves. Fuck, it takes a long time. There you go, 10 fucking years, right? Okay, stand-up takes a long time. Incidentally, I know in talent for a couple of times, and they're my friends, and I was helping to organize it. But there was like a gay and lesbian or minorities, like whatever, LGBTQ, whatever, open mic show, right?
And it's a great name, LGBT, whatever.
Yeah, and it really rolls off the tongue. And look, I'm down with it, and I was behind them, backing them. But I do know, and I'll joke about them because we're all comedians, so fuck it, we should all talk about it. All those chicks were all in talent, like. All the boys, they all just say dirty things and they just talk about sex and penises. And, you know, when we do our, like, we're going to talk about, and as soon as they did their own show, all they fucking did was talk about vaginas and sex and all that dirty shit. Because it's not, comedians don't talk about it because we're boys. Okay, yeah, but comedians talk about it because that's what new comedians talk about. Easy topics, that sort of stuff. That's, of course, you don't know how to write a joke, you're still learning it, so you grab on. It's natural, no matter what orientation, no matter what gender, you're gonna go for easy because that's what you want to fucking write about. And then you get better, and then you graduate out of that and you want to say more of your opinion, or you want to get more nuanced or more subtle.
Yeah, low hanging fruit is a phrase for a reason.
And not only though, when we're looking over the 10 years at you, not only did you progress, but the Lithuanian audience progressed as well. So, I mean, the Lithuanian stand-up would have started not long before that. You weren't an OG. You weren't an original.
I was like 5 years after the start of Humor Club. So I think like 3 or 5, something.
Five. So you're still, you know, quite in the beginning, but not the beginning being, right? Yeah. But more or less. So you've got that. That's that one of those real starts, as we did in Estonia, where there's like, no stand-up, no knowledge of this culture. And then people are like, oh, the theater? And then they come the first time in their suit, and the second time they realize they don't have to come in their suit. And it grows from that, right? So your audience has grown up.
Yeah, it has to become a culture of coming to things. Because let's say I used to talk with this producer, a musical producer, who used to say, I could do a show in a smaller venue and make the money and do like 2 to 3 shows with the same artist. I do on the expensive stage of Siemens Arena because there's a hard-coded message in Lithuanian mind that this arena is posh. It's chic. It's, if you come, it's the highest standard of coming on the stage. And the Lithuanians then go, oh, it's important. And the venue brings the thing. And when you, I think, I've seen there's a lot of success with you guys going on the theaters. The theater becomes, it's not just a bar. It's not just a pub. It's not just a grunge underground thing. We're like, yeah, fuck pussy boy. Like it becomes a more theater experience. It becomes a show. And that's what my transformation was, becoming from just the garage band guy to becoming a person who can come still with my, you know, ugly sweater and big belly on the stage, talk like not a simpleton, but like a simple guy who just comes on and tells you what he thinks, but do it in a more professional and in more just concise way. Because that's the problem what I see with a lot of comedians in Lithuania. That's what I don't have. They have to have the appeal. They have to have the authority to come to the audience and say, this is why you have to listen to me. Mm. There's a lot of fame in that. There's a lot of, you know, all those things that come before it. But you still have to become the authority of, here, listen to me. And if you have this laid back, weed smoking thing, it still has to be calculated, in my view. Because if you're a laid back guy, it still has to be thought about. Mm-hmm. And like, this is my character. This is what I am. This is what people see me. And some comedians think that they can pull off the weed smoking guy who just sits there and does funny things. When in the actuality, sometimes some of us need to grow up to become more like business-like and, you know, slice things in more neat portions and become an entertainer.
There's so much to that. There's two big ones in that. The first one is talking about the arena thing in Estonia. It's the Alexela Hall, previously known as the Nokia Hall, previously known as, I forget the other name.
Motorola.
Yeah, because we have an arena. We have the Sakul Soho, which is like a hockey hall, a big thing. But yeah, no one wants to play that. Well, okay, maybe
it's
one
difficult
want
because
to do that.
It has the... It's a bit cold.
Yeah, it's a tinny, that the metal thing. But for us, it's the Alexela Hall, which is 1,000, only 1,500, which I know Siemens is 3,000 in its regular. You can know, you have about 1,800 in a reasonable configuration, don't you?
Oh, you mean Humoro Club has had the
No,
show?
Siemens. I'm just thinking.
Siemens Arena houses, it's seats. I don't know. It's a basketball arena. So
you can go up to a lot. Anyway,
all
I'm trying to do
Mantas
is... Mantas
Katleris, our friend, he did shows with one of his friends. He became, and he did like 7,000 people came to Vilnius.
Yeah.
7,000, Kaunas 4,000, I think.
All I'm trying to do, actually, I understand. When I said that comment, when I was trying to comment on how many people fit into Siemens Arena, I was really just trying to big dick myself as a promoter.
Like you're trying
to be
to
like,
insult
oh,
me
I
about
know.
Siemens Arena?
No, like, no, I was be like, I know how many seats there are in Siemens Arena. I know fucking things.
Yeah, like...
Anyway, so we have
bench
that.
Numbers should be
yeah,
more...
like that's impressive. Like, oh, Lewis, you knew how many seats. Oh, please sleep with me. No. so we have that. And actually, we... Comedy Estonia has already played that hall and we understood its significance at the time. That was a few years ago. But we have that same thing in January with the Aari Matti tour. We're doing two nights there. That's very audacious. And I think we planned that before pandemic. I'm not entirely sure. Which now seems like a very audacious goal. And I'm a little bit worried. But nevertheless, we're doing it. So it's two nights for that same reason. Like we could do five nights at the other hall, make more money, as you said, cheaper rent. But we're choosing to do the expensive hall because we're choosing this is the time to show Aari Matti. This is the time for him to step up. This is the time for everybody to pay attention. They're already paying attention. We know that. But the symbolism of that hall, what it represents, of who you should be to fill that up. So
the arena is a finicky lady because I work with this journalist from Lithuania whose whole shtick is being all prickly and, you know, roasting everybody and all that. And he has this following of being a hater of things.
Okay.
And I worked with him on his special because it was like 5 years ago or whatever. And there's a point in comedians' life when comedians do everything. Like you get a gig, you do that.
Sure.
You get a writing gig. Yeah. I wrote a movie, which now is 3.2 on IMDb. All
right.
So I have my pootie tang.
It's okay.
I do. And what was I saying?
The comedian's the guy who's the hater.
The hater, yeah.
Guy.
And he wanted to do a stand-up special. Yeah, he said, okay. I can do stand-up. And the manager of that guy came to me and said, could you help him with a stand-up? I said, sure. And we, like, it was a very strange experience because there's a guy who has his tone and voice that he writes in and he kind of speaks like he's on show sometimes or that, but he's not versed because it's a stagecraft still. There's voice training, there's all that stuff. You still, even if you're a comedian who talks like this and has all this awkward demeanor,
still
it's still a craft.
Act.
It's still a thing. It's a technique. And he didn't have that. He's just a guy who might be able to talk his way around the jokes. And he told me the jokes. And at the time, I thought that they were terrible. And I talked with him about it. He became angry at me because I wrote to him like, I don't think this will work. This is not Lithuanian material. And he wrote back to me, I do whatever I want. Like, I have the luxury of saying whatever I want because I am me. Like, that's the thing he wrote to me. And he like tried them, like did a not an open mic, but like a small audience show, like of 10 people or whatever, because that was weird. Like 10 people is not enough to
personality driven comedians do not work in small venues.
Yeah, you should do it like at least 50 people.
Sure.
Yeah. So he did that, and then he started selling tickets, and he didn't sell them.
Right.
It was a huge bust, and there needed to be a whole press thing to tell why, because you can't tell that it just didn't sell tickets. You have to make a reason for it, and the reason was the jokes were too raunchy. Like the Lithuania is not prepared for this.
Oh my god!
And I work with that, and I have arena experiences with people both, you know, who made.
Yeah.
Who had a lot of people and who had no people and had to cancel the shows.
Huh.
So it's a very finicky thing.
So that's still happening. We get that phenomenon in Estonia as well, where the famous people want to, I guess they've seen us do stand-up, I take it as a compliment, and then they've decided they're going to do it. And I know right now there's a famous actor, Mart Avarndi, and he's doing the best one. I've heard he's doing the best of all of them. He's not a stand-up, but he's an excellent actor, so he's able to pull it off.
Actors tend to have a better track record. We have other actors who became stand-up comedians and just did well with their, what I said, the stagecraft, the speech, the whole acting around the bits. There's no like punchlines, but there's like funny faces and all that.
Doesn't it frustrate you though?
Not really.
Huh. Because there's nothing that annoys the shit out of Comedy Estonia as a group more than all of these bullshit Estonian celebrities or actors trying to do stand-up. Because we were like, motherfuckers, we've been pushing this long for 10 years and you just think that stand-up is a way that you can write a script and not hire extra people and not have a stage and not do loads of rehearsals. Like, that's what you think the stand-up is going to be.
Yeah.
And
well,
but how's it for you? You don't
I kind of hear that thing about jazz, you know, the jazz was jazz and still is jazz. And then came smooth jazz, like Kenny G and all that. And, all right. And Kenny G just like, oh, you motherfucker, you're watering it down or whatever. Mm. In my view, it just changes. Mm. Like I don't become less funny because someone who is, in my view, not as talented or not as well versed comes on stage, because it doesn't dilute me. I'm me. I have my voice, I have my presence. And you do whatever you want. You do the smooth stand-up, you know, you do the Kenny G of stand-up. Mm. You do it in your way. Maybe you'll reach people who I wouldn't because of my raunchiness or whatever, or my appeal, because I'm not a, you know, 10 out of 10 actor who comes on stage and tells jokes in like you know, with the shirt with no belly. And I don't know that. And I have my limited appeal, but it doesn't bother me. I joke about it. Mm. Like some woman starts doing stand-up because she used to do like famous clothes or whatever, started doing stand-up about clothes. And I know what it's going to be. I know it's going to be that about, come on, girls. We have nothing to wear for like, you know, 90 minutes or whatever. And it doesn't annoy me or insult me. It's just floats around and that's it. I have my jazz.
So interesting. I come back to that. You said a line that just struck me as soon as you started that spiel, which was, it doesn't dilute me.
Yeah.
It doesn't take away from me. It doesn't. And I agree with you. And I would say with perspective, I would agree with you. That is not, I think, how most of our Estonian comedians see it. And I've wondered a lot about this. Why is that? Because even if I've known, I mean, I'm just talking to you, I haven't talked to you for quite a while, but I talk to Polius fairly often. And Polius has a fairly similar attitude, let's say. Meaning that I've understood the Comedy Estonia attitude is fairly extreme, which is like, fuck all of those guys. Fuck you. This is our thing. We found a thing to do. Stop trying to copy it and bullshit imitate it. And I've wondered, but with time, I have chilled and I'm like, I don't care anymore either. But I can still see it in the eyes of a lot of our Estonian comedians that they are like, and frustrated and even good ones. Like good guys. I mean, and I'll say Sander. Sander don't give a shit. Like Sander, you can just see in him the frustration, the and I often wonder why. Is it just that Estonia has so few population? Even though, even you might say like, oh, Lithuania, 3 million. You know, is it three times as many people? Even though it's only 3 million, that doesn't make it sound very much, right?
Yeah.
But when you say that your population is three times as many people as ours, is there some threshold which beyond that you're like, there's plenty to go around? Where in Estonia, we're just, I think Estonian entertainment industry is just a whole bunch of cunts, like with monkey knife fights, just like, just knifing each other for the little bits that there are to go around. And I just look, does all that it take is like one more million people and everything's okay?
It might be. It might be. Maybe. I don't know. I'm all, you know, high and mighty here sitting with my with my podcast and whatever. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to be honest, not about, because I cannot do the whole analysis of Estonia and Estonian culture, because there's a lot of factors that come to it.
Sure, I do. Yeah, I wonder.
But the only thing is about me living as me. All because right, cool. And I get if some guys become precious about the art, because you put so much effort into it, and I do my jazz, I do my whatever. And someone comes there with a shitty keyboard and starts like copying me. What is this?
What
is this? It's like mocking me. And
jazz is popular now.
The only thing I would like to say to maybe some younger comedians, it's not about you. You're not stand up. You are a guy who does stand up, or a girl. If you do it well and you practice and you do your 10,000 hours, good, great. If you're good, you're gonna get recognized, and that's it. And if you're, you know, sure about yourself that you do good, and you're good, whatever your KPI is, like I don't know, financial or people in the seats or the laugh per minute or whatever it is you're seeking. If you feel good about that, there's less of a chance of becoming bitter because of, you know, you made good cars and someone else started making other cars, but they're like faster produced and becoming, you know.
Right. And we don't want to imply that, the Estonian guys are all bitter, just that it's a thing, right?
Yeah, it's just the people who are, because I was bitter. I had this mentality.
Yeah, what's your advice then to, I mean, you're all now like, we're sitting in your fucking private podcast studio that you only do the podcast once a week. What a lofty fucking ivory tower to be saying this advice to the young comedians from.
Yeah,
so
how
were you when you were younger? How did you feel about when you were, you know,
I was bitter. Okay. I was. Because, you know, bringing your thoughts to people and bringing jokes, it's a personal experience, because comedians who have something in them to become comedians, they become personal really quick. Even if it's a dick joke or whatever, it still comes from inside. If you're worth a damn as a comedian, and it's a place that, you know, if someone doesn't laugh, if you don't get the recognition that you think you deserve, you there's a risk to becoming bitter, and you start feeling like the victim. You know, like the victim of the industry. Like I do my work, I do my art, and that person who makes a chicken talk on the radio or whatever, or you know, or is a hack. Yeah, no, there are differences in you know, in craft and difficulty, and of course, if you know your notes, you're good at jazz, still good, but there's a way of thinking about it, and becoming bitter towards the industry is not the way. It's you should embrace it, critique it, you know, shake it all around. But remember, whatever you do, you're still a part of it. Like every system allows a bit of rebellion in it, just a little bit. Yeah, we have the
flies. The
beautiful greenery.
Like I think your advice as well, and again, I think about all of these. I think about this, not only, okay, so at a cultural level, is it an Estonian, Lithuanian thing? Is it a comedian thing? But also it's a new comedy industry thing? Like, as much as, you know, was Dominguez a little retard because he was bitter, or was it also a major factor that, and I know it is for us, that we feel like we started it? You know, we were the OGs back in the day, grinding away, and then someone else comes along and does it. And so it's more, it's easier to get some sort of feeling like, ah, fuck it, come on. You know, maybe not bitter, but like, ah, what are you doing? No. And yeah, and exactly that now over time, when new comedians are coming into our industries here in Lithuania and Estonia, they're 10 years, 15 years established. There's something going on there. There's already some legacy, some history, something's established, that they may not feel that same irrational bitterness because they weren't, you know, in that time and place. Not that you have to be an OG or anything, you know, maybe.
Yeah. Well, in my experience, when someone starts doing your shit, you usually at least need at least some new shit. Like you need to become, you have to become a bit fresher. You have to become a bit faster. Mm. Because if you are, let's say you spearheaded the industry with the comedy thing, and someone starts doing it, and you become diluted as you think as you think that you become, well, then it's a sign that you need to step up.
Like, but we've never worried. Okay, on top of all of that, maybe this sounds super arrogant. We have never worried that our shows don't artistically stack up.
Yeah,
we've never, for all the irrational, that's why the fear is so irrational. Oh, the Petroja, the Otsep, these are Estonian references for the Estonians listening. Yeah. Now the Marta Vandi, now the Donis Nonimits is coming along, right? They can come along, every famous actor, they're on every famous thing, they can come along and we can be super worried about it. But we have almost never for a moment been artistically worried. Like, oh, that actor is
then
doing
it's good.
Better stand
then
up
it's, then you have then people who are bitter or at least becoming a little bit more bitter, I think, in my opinion, should search for reasons what's making them bitter. Mm-hmm. Because it's if you are sure about yourself that you're standing there and you're producing the product that you're happy with, and you can't make all the money in the world. Of course, an influencer mom who has a strong Instagram and does hacky bits about, oh, my child is this and I'm like this, I have saggy tits and whatever. If she does that, of course she's going to bring a lot more people than you, a guy with a plaid shirt, you know, Mr. Cobain. It doesn't have to be, but in my opinion, you have to know what is that you're doing and be like, understand that being a comedian with a plaid shirt, it's a way of life that's only, you know, it has so much. You have to become more. And that's why I do this podcast. That's why I do my semi-late night or whatever. It's not my produced. I'm just a host. And that's why I do all the other stuff. Of course, I'm privileged with that because there's a lot of chance that came to it. Hmm. But there's a lot of work. And becoming a more of a jack of all trades, then it starts, people start believing in you more. Like you have, if you have professionalism, not just the comedy talent, people would like to advertise on your podcast. Like they know you deliver on time. They know you have deadlines. You have like good management skills or whatever. And it all encompasses that. And when you become that, there's less time for bitterness and more time for just like growing yourself. And it's a bit of a hacky thing to say, you have to grow and become less stressed, you know? Yeah.
Well, you got to do it.
Mr. Freeman. Idiot. But
you
got to
grind it out.
Yeah, but you have to think to find the thing that makes you bitter because, I don't know, it doesn't make me bitter. Okay. I see a lot of people coming to Lithuania, doing their hacky shit, and it's it's hacky comedy. I know the difference, course, and we all do. But it doesn't do anything towards me. Hmm. Like, whatever, you do you. Like, if I'm good, people will come. It's like good pizza. You make good pizza.
I like that. It's a good attitude to have. And I certainly, I guess I've presented a certain side in this. I don't mean to say like we're bitter or wrong, but I just wanted to like really present it as
and
different.
And I get that.
Because I'm really known for Polyus over the years and I've been impressed with Paulius over the years, I've been like, how are you so fucking chill, bro?
Because I get that side. Yeah. I know the bitterness part and very, very well. And it was a difficult time because you put so much in your art. You push so much of yourself. It's so personal and it's so grindy and so not glamorous because TV life and all that, it's so much more glamorous. Mm. There's like free shit. You're an influencer. Get here's some clothes to wear and here's that. And an artist's life has very little of that. Mm. And you have to be happy with what you produce and it sustains you. And if you want more and you feel like the industry is not giving you everything, maybe, and I'm quoting Kennedy, maybe there's something you're not giving it. And there's a street that comes both ways, in my opinion. It's still same people come back and watch those shitty TV shows that you like, dislike or whatever. Talk shows when there's a woman who eats sand, you know, and she's like, what her views on COVID or whatever. And there's a red haired lady who would like, yeah, how's the sand? And we get it, but it's still an industry that you're part of. The same people that watch that shit come to your show and you don't know that. Like, you think you have a bubble that of all the geniuses and all the Mensa members and all of those people coming to you to your shows and like not watching all that shit, not watching TV, not watching, you know, bad radio presenters who call gay people whatever they call them, but they still do. And I think there's a reason that the symbol for drugstores, like it has a snake on top of it. So a little bit of that thing that you consider poison might be a thing that grows you a thicker skin.
Oh, that is such a good metaphor to end this episode on. I was going to oh my God. It's built this episode to a beautiful crescendo that the symbol of the medical thing with the snake and the poison, this is a good metaphor about how to view the artistic process, about the struggle that we go through, and that there's this payoff at the end that you've just got to keep believing in, that it's there. I like it. I like this story. Let's wrap it up there, man. Yeah, I like it. I don't know where I can go from this. This is too good.
Let's say a few compliments to our viewers.
Yes.
You ladies and gentlemen and they and she and sir and whoever you feel like or whoever you identify I feel you, the viewer, is a person who I would let into my house with the extra key. I would give you an extra key of my house. You can come to my house and we can play Uno and I can lock you in my basement. That's how much I like you.
Yeah, is this some Lithuanian shit? At the end, we all praise the listeners? Because there's Estonian people at home like scratching themselves like,
scratch yourselves. think about me coming into your room, like hugging you and saying, thank you for watching this. We're Lithuanians. We're not cold-blooded. You don't need to put us in a freezer to like to put us out of misery. Right. Yeah, that's my compliment to you guys, gals, and all the people that are watching this. Of course, who are not watching this. Fuck you, who's not watching this.
I know what. I'll publicize the video because it's the best video I've ever had. Absolutely.
Like, you guys and gals who are not watching this, I hope you get a cleft tongue. Like left lip, like you become like this. That's my hope to the
Lithuania.
Yeah,
that should be your new marketing campaign. Come to Lithuania.
Yeah, well, land of horses and people who cannot breathe properly.
Land of horses. That's the thing. Why horses? I don't know. I saw a horse. Anyway, Dominicus, thank you very much for being on my podcast. Fuck yeah! Thank you for watching. Great.